Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming with it.
We are ready to start the show.
Let's go.
Woo! America,
let's do it.
Another edition of Talking Sports is officially on the air. Just wanted to say I'm proud, fellas, to have our first sponsorship. This show is brought to you by Riannute. It's a classic wine that, again, you want to drink responsibly. This wine is literally based upon – it's got a lot of high tannins, if you will, but it's based out of the region of Italy, if you will. And you know, just wanted to give a quick plug to Riannute for tonight's segment, if you will. So a lot of love, if you will. We're having fun.
Well, region as a country, what region of Italy?
It's actually in Portugal, believe it or not. So, you know, yeah, so we'll have some – well, that's not even in Italy. That's in Spain. But that's all – you know, we'll come back to that.
Oh,
that's
all.
Wait, what?
I'll come better prepared next time. I was kind of joking about that. I forgot Gary was a wine sommelier,
connoisseur,
whatever you want to call him, man.
So.
I was just having fun, man. So, but I'll come next week. Hey. I got you, man. I'm gonna have a whole little section of that too. So, all good, man.
Hey, he said Portugal was in Italy. Then he said Portugal was in Spain.
I totally messed it up. Yeah, Portugal is definitely not in, you know, not in Italy at all. You know, so you know, you definitely poked a lot of holes in that.
Portugal's in Portugal.
Man, that's why. No longer our sponsor. I was drinking too much. My apologies. So I'm not even gonna like.
Oh my goodness.
I was having too much fun, man. You know, I forgot, man. You guys.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, yeah. Okay. Hey.
You gotta put
yeah,
on your
hell
geography class.
No.
I was kind of having fun, man. But you know, then it's like, oh, man, I shouldn't joke.
You're wearing the Golden State
hat. I got some people that.
I
do know where Golden State is at, man. It was kind of a joke, and then I forgot that, you know, all the Delta folks, and they should definitely know about travel, so that was on me. So just trying to lighten it up and went a whole other direction. That's okay. It's all good. What's up, JQ?
Hey, man, I'm chilling. I'm just letting y'all have at it.
Rob Ford?
Doing great, man. Got my two doses of asparagus in today, man.
He's back home.
He is back home. Gary Curtis, you got
still trying to work off this Mardi Gras fat I put on.
Yeah.
Curtis, Gary, how you guys doing?
How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing fine. You guys. Yeah. Still here. Yay.
Still kicking. Hey, we're doing good here though. We're having a good time. We're ready to get this party started.
Appreciate you guys too. So again, let's get this party started. Kick off another edition of Talking Sports, March 8th. We're right in the middle of getting ready for March Madness, gentlemen. We're looking forward to brackets and all that fun stuff. But the NFL is still king. We've got a lot of things to discuss. A lot of things that have happened. Really quickly to call on the show the same number. It's always the 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter. That's number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or 12th man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. And Rob has posted another mock draft. We appreciate you, Rob, as always. So we're going to kick this party off with a lot of details here. And JQ ran off. I do wanted to kind of show some love here. Not necessarily love, but some latest on, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I love the actual stuff in the chat when we were talking about he's like a pretty girl. You got to tell me he's pretty all the time. But it looks like he got his wish, and he's going back to Green Bay, if you will. So Rob, just going to kick it off with you, man. What do you think about that? And was this a surprise, you think, or kind of like, you know, we knew that he wasn't really going anywhere?
I don't think it was a surprise at all. I thought, you know, over the last month or so, or even a month and a half, all indications looked like he was heading back to Green Bay. And then when you come back with a four-year, $200 million, $153 million guarantee kind of deal, Green Bay was prepared to, you know, to make him a huge deal to make sure he stays in Green Bay. Even though he's, what, 38, 39 years old, they're still pretty comfortable with him leading their team here over the next few years. And it also makes it seem like now that the Jordan Love pick was probably one of the worst picks in a long time, right?
Should have got wide receiver, right?
And now the question becomes, do you look to trade Jordan Love right now too? So it's going to be you know, really interesting to see what happens with that. And plus, there's some salary cap situations. Green Bay still needs to get under the cap before the new year starts here on March 16th. So they still got a little bit of work to do. So I don't think he's going to be able to officially sign that deal just yet. They still have some cap work to do. Obviously, they put the franchise tag on Devontae Adams today too. So they still have some, their capologists still have some work to do here over the next few weeks. But, you know, you got to give Green Bay credit. I love the comment Charles Barkley made. I mean, I think he, you know, I think he hit the nail on the head with that comment. It's just true. I mean, however we want to look at it, I mean, it's true with Aaron Rodgers. That's just the type of personality he is. He is that pretty girl. You have to tell him. You have to tell her she's pretty every day. It's just a fact. I mean,
right,
you know,
right.
we could talk about Charles as much as we want, but, you know, he hit the nail on the head with that comment with Aaron Rodgers. And Green Bay realized that. They realized the kind of person Aaron is, what type of personality he is. And this is just what they're going to have to do. But all indications are that it looked like Aaron Rodgers is going to end his career a Green Bay Packer at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, he traded up to get Jordan Love, too, which is bad. They gave up capital to go get him, so it's just taking a midday flight. But, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers looked around and said, what am I talking about? I am in a division that I can win for the rest of these next 4 years. The Bears is a bit wild, but they really challenged him. Even with Justin Fields, they got to build around them. The Vikings just changed coaches. None of us really believe in Kirk Cousins. And Detroit is Detroit. So you're looking at almost an automatic ticket to the playoffs every year in the NFC North. And he probably looked over to AFC before Denver got Russell Wilson and said, I ain't messing with Patrick Mahomes. I ain't messing with Herbert. I'm not messing with Lamar Jackson. I'm not messing with Josh Allen. I'm not messing with Joe Burrow. So I'm going to stay right here. The only person I really got to concern myself with is Matthew Stafford, the current state. And, you know, sometimes Matthew Stafford goes up and down. You know, he's got to give his credit, won the Super Bowl. But, yeah, you know, somebody tell you you're 4 years, $200 million. I mean, I know they've come out and said that number isn't right, but if it's something close to that, that's just stupid money. You're talking about getting crazy money, playing in a weak division, and a conference that is got another older quarterback in Matthew Stafford, but not a ton of young guns that have elevated themselves to the point like we'd like. Well, one, I know the Cowboy fans are waiting on Dak to do that, and we don't know what's going to go happen in Arizona with Kyler Murray because he doesn't seem happy there. But outside of that, you look like we can do this for the next 3 to 4 years, even if we have to give up some defensive players. You know, I mean, San Francisco, yeah, I think, is going to be still be in the mix, but it's not that ridiculous as the AFC is. So, you know, I agree. You got to give him his flowers every week so he feels wanted. But, you know, that money in that situation, to me, that's a no-brainer, especially if they're going to keep Devontae Adams. They can figure out a way to get him to a long-term deal where if I'm Devontae, I say, okay, how can I get paid and he get paid and our deals kind of run, you know, concurrently, so when he's ready to go, then I have the opportunity to think about moving on myself. So that's what I think they'll try to do with Devontae and keep the band together on offense at least, but not really shocked that. And Green Bay, was always going to be the best option for Aaron to quickest, easiest path to get back to where he wants.
Yeah.
Well, I was
that's a really good point. No Drew
that.
Brees, no Aaron Rodgers. I mean, no Drew Brees,
yeah,
no Tom Brady in the NFC either.
Yeah, I would
nope.
definitely
yeah,
agree with that thought process. Yeah, that division, you know, he's the only real quarterback in that division. It's the easiest path, probably maybe even the easiest path to you know, home field advantage as well in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yep. They've had it the last 2 years. Yeah.
They've
been there for a long time. If you want to honestly look at a career, you let a guy from Detroit go to a good team and win a Super Bowl once we've been in Detroit. Aaron had good enough teams to be in more Super Bowls than he had been. And I remember 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, when they drafted that Love guy. That was a stupid move. They were in a championship game 2 years in a row, one game from getting to the Super Bowl, and they didn't address that by drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Really sad.
Yeah, I'm tore up about it. I'm heartbroken too, Curtis.
Well, so,
and, I mean, people want to be so great. I'll argue that all the way. Now, but it's true that, I mean, going into next season, they're the heads-on favorite of winning that division, having a home playoff game, and they might be in the championship game again. They got the best draft.
Well, we'll see what they do in the draft, and we'll see if he can, you know, get to another Super Bowl. He's got some things he's got to prove, too. Got a big contract, and, you know.
There it is.
Right before
that
the playoffs, send him those flowers. Right before each playoff game, send him the flowers.
Yeah. Hey, if you look at Green Bay, their defense was actually pretty good toward the end of the year last year, too. I think a few reinforcements on that defense. I think particularly the offensive line is going to have to be a big focus for that team.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe you can look at getting another weapon for him. I mean, you got a couple of good backs back there already in the backfield. But, you know, just to me, if you really just a couple of reinforcements there, you know, maybe another defensive player. You got to focus on the offensive line and maybe try to get another weapon on the perimeter. I know that sounds like a lot. But, I mean, that's, you know, other than that, I mean, those are your main focus. But I think offensive line probably has to be number one.
Yeah, but
yep, good stuff.
San Francisco beat them this year, and they didn't score any points in the second half. I put that right on the flower boy.
Flower boy.
How did they not score more points?
It's true, though.
Against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
How could you?
Yep.
They threw a beat San Francisco. But they didn't do it offensively. The defense played well enough to beat San Francisco. Let's go. The offense thing, Aaron Rodgers, they didn't play good enough to beat San Francisco. And that was just last year.
Yeah,
you can't let a team from California come and beat you on a frozen tundra in January. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, you need a lead quarterback like that, and it's 2 years in a row. That they lost a playoff game at home as a number one seed. And, you know, he's got to take some ownership of that, too. A lot of that on Aaron Rodgers. You know, we compliment him when he's doing great, but a lot of that, he has to take ownership of that too, the failures in the play. Only one touchdown in that game against the 49ers at home on a frozen tundra, and you get beat by a team, you don't even score an offensive touchdown at all in that game. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has to take some blame for that too.
Absolutely.
Yep, good stuff. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this. We're going to talk about the next big story. So there, we made Aaron Rodgers happy. We gave him his flowers. We're good. The next biggest story that happened was the move that Denver made, acquiring Russell Wilson. Let's talk about this because there's a lot of implications as far as how this shakes up the AFC, shakes what's happening. If you didn't know, America, as you know, this is crazy that they've agreed to trade Drew Lock, tight end Noah Fant, JQ's favorite player, defensive lineman Shelby Harris, two first-round picks. This year they gave they get the number 9 overall pick. They get one in 2023. They get two second-round picks, number 40, and then a fifth-round pick. And then the Seahawks, and then I guess they get, like, Wilson in the fourth round or something like back to Denver, if you will. But if you're Seattle, I guess, right now, I'm assuming that you're not maybe going to keep Drew Lock. You're in a good position. And I know we could talk about this, Rob, because I know you just said your mock draft. Does that affect – are they going to draft a quarterback at number 9? You know, we'll talk about that. How does it imply what's happening in the AFC right now with the Broncos? Are they in a good situation right now? Could you get a Super Bowl winning quarterback? And this definitely shakes up a lot of things right now. Sorry, JQ, in the AFC, man. So let's talk about this. How does it affect the draft? What's happening? You know, the floor is yours, Rob. Start with you, man. This is crazy.
Hey, I know it sounds like Seattle gave up. I know it sounds like Denver gave up a lot to give Russell Wilson, but hey, I like the deal if you're Denver. And I don't like the deal if you're Seattle. I mean, you're getting a franchise winning quarterback. I mean, you saw what the Rams just did for winning the Super Bowl. They just went all in. I think this is a sign for Denver. I like the weapons that Denver have on the perimeter. I like some of their defensive players too. You know, they still have some cap space in order to maybe tackle some free agents here as well to offset some of the draft picks they're not going to have to maybe hit the free agency market. Hey, I like the move for Denver. Does it automatically put them on top in the AFC? It doesn't. You know, when you look at, I know JQ alluded to this earlier, when you look at all the great quarterbacks and all the great teams in the AFC, I don't think it automatically catapults Denver to number 1. It sucks. In their division alone, you have the Chargers, you have the Chiefs, and then when you look at the conference as a whole, you have the Bengals, obviously the Titans. Mm-hmm. And you look at the Titans' defense, they just locked up Harold Landry today on a 5-year, $87.5 million deal. So there's obviously the Patriots are coming with Mac Jones. I think Miami can still be a competitive team. The Bills, Josh Allen, how did I forget them, right? And I don't think it automatically puts them number 1 in the AFC, but I think it definitely puts them in the conversation. Anytime you get a Russell Wilson kind of player. So I know it's they gave up a lot, but I like the move if you're Denver. Obviously, Seattle just told us to tell you that he obviously didn't want to be there anymore for you to even make this kind of deal. I don't think you trade a franchise quarterback, period. So it's obvious that he really wanted out. But, you know, from Seattle's standpoint, they do get quite a haul. And it gives them an opportunity to rebuild. I don't think it's a given that Seattle's going to take a QB at number 9, though. I think it's a good chance they will. Obviously, Malik Willis, you know, did a phenomenal job at the combine.
You hear that.
From an interview standpoint, from his performance. And I think, you know, right now I have him as the number 1 quarterback taken in the draft. I have him going 11 to Washington.
Over
Kenny
Pickett.
I think he's going to be in conversation. I think he's going to be in conversation in Seattle. I think he might be in conversation even with Atlanta, and I think he could also be in conversation with the Steelers moving all the way up to number 7 and 8 to get him too. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't even see him in Pittsburgh. I have to deal with Lamar Jackson's ass in Baltimore. I don't need that, you know, twice a year for both of those dudes. And then also today, Seattle just said they're not cutting Bobby Wagner. So Seattle's just cleaning house and starting over and clearing space.
I wonder.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, is this allows them to recoup some of those first rounds, that first round pick that they gave to the Jets for getting Jamal Adams, which was the craziest deal ever to get a freaking safety. But the thing about it, I'm with you, Rob. I think that relationship just ran its course, and that's why you see him go to the AFC. They're not going to deal with him in the NFC. They said, if we meet you again on this path, we'll see you in the Super Bowl. We're not messing with you
every four years.
But yeah, if you're Denver, people forget Denver had a top eight scoring defense last year. They just did not have a quarterback. You got Courtland Sutton, you got Jerry Jeudy, you got Tim Patrick. I don't like
that they
have to give a fan, but I can see Seattle. Yeah, they've got weapons. You got, you know, two headed monster.
Yeah.
And the running back in the backfield. Like, Denver has talent on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
They just didn't have a quarterback.
Good offensive line,
so you give them Russell Wilson, very good offensive line. So you look at it and say, well, we got a lot of what we need. We give
them
first round picks. Okay. You saw the Rams do it, and you draft thirds.
Yep.
You still get good draft value for plug a place in the hole. And then now Denver is also a free agent destination, depending on how you structure their cap, because everybody's going to look at that and say, well, they've got a good defense. They've got Russell Wilson. They've got weapons. I can go there. So, I mean, yeah, if you're Denver, that's a no-brainer. But poor Raiders, poor Derek Carr. He's looking like, man, if you don't get me the hell out of Las Vegas, like, you know, he looked around like, man, I had to deal with Mahomes. Then I get Herbert coming. Now I got to get Russell Wilson, too? Like, I feel really bad
in
Derek Carr.
Yeah, I was thinking they dropped to the number 4 team in the AFC West just like that. And they were
well,
playoff
like
team last
year. This is what you're going to see
Gary
here.
Curtis. Yeah, you got to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so what you're
going to
see here is with Russell Wilson in Denver now, you're going to see the AFC West a lot like the NFC West was this year. Well, you didn't know who was going to win until the last game of the season. That's what you're going to see next year with the AFC, with the AFC West, because they're going to beat up each other. They're going to be games where Russell West, you know, Wilson is hot.
Russell Westbrook.
He does his thing. I almost said Westbrook.
Got it, Westbrook. Got the Westbrook, though.
But with that said, I think that's going to be the fun division to watch this year.
Absolutely.
It's
the
AFC West.
Yeah.
And how
much
I do think it definitely puts Denver in that conversation. You know, we'll see how he gels with his new boys. He's still mobile enough. He's a smart quarterback. When he does run, he tends to slide at that right time. He doesn't get his feet caught up. He slides down on his hip and on his ass. So he's a real smart quarterback. I think he'll do well. I'm excited for him in Denver. And I'm very, very happy that the Seahawks made that deal, because I hate the Seahawks. And I think they got the worst end of the deal.
You can't
win
the
NFL
team
right
in Portland.
You know, I'm a Denver fan, because those are the first games I ever saw. When I was little, very little, lived in my neighborhood, and my dad knew players in the NFL. But, you know, I tell you guys that all the time, that Denver and Old Mile House Stadium is the home of me being under 10 watching football games. Saw Johnny United, saw the Chiefs, but Hank Stram, and saw Jim Puckett. I got Jim Funkett photographed somewhere in my house when he first started. And he started with the New England. It wasn't New England at the time. It was called the Boston Patriots, where I go back. But with Russell Wilson, you got to simplify everything. And Gary touched on it. That division, that Mahomes wants to be the man. He wants to be a man, the best quarterback in in the NFL. Now, Kansas City and Mahomes took that. He took that loss on him. So he's not planning to back down to anybody in the NFL. Here's a thought, and this has never happened. But, you know, San Diego or wherever they're at now, L.A. Chargers,
yeah,
the quarterback from Oregon.
Herbert.
Herbert. Is it possible that all four teams in the West can make the playoffs? Raiders made it last year. They were in the playoffs. I thought Kansas City was going to be in the Super Bowl. And now Russell Wilson puts you right there. And L.A. with Herbert, this draft, and all they can do to keep up in that division, you better be thinking that's all that's on their mind. So I'm thinking simple. The division is going to be, like I said, fun to watch. So that division is not going to be no joke. There's going to be firepower, and there's going to be people in that division that they might have all four of those quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
I mean,
just up.
That four quarterbacks that could be in the Hall of Fame. Think about that.
Yep, good stuff. Let's talk about the next topic here because, again, we're going to kick into some NFL combine winners, and we're going to let Rob kick about this because, again, I think this is going to also set the stage for the draft. And I know, Rob, you did the updated mock draft, and there's a couple of situations that are going to be interesting, too, as far as quarterback play. If you have Malik Willis going number one, if you're Pittsburgh, are you just hoping that Kenny Pickett kind of like aligns right there? Is that like a situation where it's kind of a perfect pick for them? What's going to happen to Tampa Bay, Kyle Trask and Blaine Gabbert? What the hell? Are they going to be looking for a quarterback? There's a lot of things that are going to happen. But, Rob, let's talk about some winners, if you will, from the NFL Combine. And we're going to talk about – I'm sure we're going to talk about the big boy, Jordan Davis, as well, man. And, you know, Kyle Hamilton didn't run
fast, yeah.
But I wanted it too. But, you know, still some good stuff too, man. So let's talk about that, man.
You mentioned him with Jordan Davis. When you see his, all right, let's talk about the whole Georgia defense. The whole Georgia defense
right?
Probably improved their stock in this draft. Trayvon Walker from Georgia, it might have improved his stock the most. I mean, I got him going to number four overall to the Jets. When you look at what he ran, I think he ran like a 4.51. He's got the length, the long arms from the defensive end.
Big boy.
I know we talk about Jordan Davis a lot, but Trayvon Walker is the guy right now that has possibly surpassed even Kayvon Thibodeau in this draft. Obviously, I don't think he's going to go ahead of Aiden Hutchinson, but he's probably surpassed Kayvon Thibodeau in this draft. And then you touched on it with Jordan Davis, a 4.7840 at his size. I mean, that is just unreal. I mean, a faster 40 time than Patrick Mahomes, Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston,
So, I mean, and then when you look at his vertical leap he put on in the draft, too, I mean, it's now, you know, how often are you going to run a straight line 40 as a defensive tackle in the league? You know, it's very slim. But if you can have that short quickness, in that range, that's what you're really looking for from a defensive tackle. But really, that whole Georgia defense, Devontae Wyatt, another defensive tackle in that draft from Georgia, that whole Georgia defense really Darian Kendrick, cornerback from Georgia. That really showed you why they were the national champs, right? Because they really went to the combine and really just showed out at the combine.
Hey, Rob.
And
just
to
real
throw
quick,
J. Cubone.
And I think Jordan, and really quickly, I know you're going to throw J. Cubone, but I'm glad because Jordan Davis asked a lot of questions because he thought he was just like a two-down guy, right? Because they're saying he was overweight possibly in the Alabama game. So he definitely kind of, you know, showed that he can slim up and do some things too, because if he's able to kind of rush the pocket, that's a complete defensive tackle too. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was excited about that too. But, yeah.
And, you know, obviously he prepared for the combine. He did lose some weight. So, you know, can he continue to do that long term? Does he have the discipline to keep his weight under control? I think it's still a question mark for Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. I believe I have him going 17 overall in my latest mock draft. And the Ohio State wide receivers, Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. I mean, they really came out and did really well. I got Garrett Wilson right now as the number one wide receiver in the draft at the moment. Actually, I got Jordan Davis going 14 overall. I'm sorry. I got him going to Baltimore at 14. But I got Garrett Wilson as the number one wide receiver in the draft. He and Chris Olave perform extremely well. I talked about Malik Willis already. A couple of running backs. I don't have a running back going in the first round. I actually don't have a running back going in the second round. But Breece Hall from Iowa State, and Kenneth Walker, both putting up 4.4s in the combine was really impressive for them. I have them both going at the top of the third round in this draft. Alec Pierce, wide receiver from Cincinnati, did really well. Christian Watson from North Dakota State ran a 4.36.
That's my guy right there.
He did really well. And another sleeper, tight end Jelani Woods from Virginia. 6'7", 6'7", over 260 pounds, ran a 4.61. He's a sleeper to watch here in this draft as well. So I can go on and on. There was actually quite a few guys that really, really shine here in the combine, but those are just a select few that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, you touched on Ohio State wide receivers, but, you know, it's got to be such a big business. You know, you got kids, you know, outside of the ones that were in the playoffs, you know, for sure, that, you know, they go to specialized camps and trainers, you know, just to work on that 40 time, to work on that broad jump, to work on that thing. So it's, you know, you still got to rely on that tape because it's got so specialized and they know they can make themselves and move themselves up around, right, with good combat.
Mike Mamula.
They dedicate, they take themselves very seriously. Take it very seriously. So I'm interested to see how people, you know, these evaluators take what they see at the combat and measure it against all the tape they've seen on these guys and then make their evaluation off that because you can't be a prisoner of the moment. You know, Jordan Davis was still pretty good for Georgia, period, right? So him running that showed his dedication, like you said, to lose the weight. But he put dominant game tape together. So you could still say, you know, he should be in the first round. But some of these guys like those Baylor wide receivers that came out there blazing. You know, they weren't necessarily great on film, right? You know, they have moments, don't get me wrong, but they ran blazing times. Somebody's going to elevate their pass where they should be because they had the 40 times. So that's what I'm looking forward to this draft, to see how these, you know, some of these lesser guys that had good combine performance, how much they really improved their stock over their tape.
Yeah.
And really quickly.
That's a really good point. I don't even have those Baylor wide receivers going in the first three rounds. So, I mean –
right.
Just because you shine in the combine. And some of these guys that shine in the combine, by the time the draft comes, you know, some of them may actually slide just a little bit because once they get into the pro days, once they get into more of the interviews, and once they get into more of a deep dive, you might see a few of them come back and slide back down to earth by the time the draft comes. But some of them will continue to stay near the top of the draft.
But I'm curious too because there was something that said that Jerry Rice ran like a 4.7 or something crazy like that. But I think it was reputed the actual
like
a 4.6
something I think.
4.5 something 6. But and you're like that dude. No, that can't be right because he was outrunning everybody. So again, it shows you the tape doesn't lie, man. Because unfortunately, you're like, you know, there's some, you know, you heard kind of some various times about him, but I don't think he was. His time was definitely recorded accurately. Go ahead, Curtis, Gary, all you guys.
Some people fast and pass.
That's true, too.
Well, you know, the combine turned into big business, but it's not the only put it in a film is for that league that's coming up next month. You're going to see people in that AFL land, it's called. You're going to see a lot of those guys on those teams. These young cats that are bad. I mean, I'm not talking about bad and crooks, but super athletes. And that's super enough to be in the NFL. They got something to fall back on and make money and maybe even improve the way they get NFL contracts. More jobs. And I really like that idea of more jobs out there for these young kids to make a little bit of money being an athlete. So that's coming up next month, and that's going to take a big part of the people we saw in the Columbine.
Yeah, you know, you see that, you watch these athletes. They're so much bigger, stronger, and faster than they ever. It seems like every year these guys just are just phenomenal, phenomenal athletes. Even these guys that don't make it into the NFL, like Curtis mentioned, they're the best of the best in their conferences, their teams, their conferences, and everything. Even to really even get a shot to that point, you got to be a flat-out stud. Curtis and I have had the opportunity to work with a few of them over the years. And these are just practice squad guys and guys that just had, you know, just a half a season or just a brief stint in the league. And they're just absolute phenomenal athletes. It's amazing to see that and to experience that, working with these guys and just their athletic ability. These big guys, we had this big guy, his name was Cam. He works for he's a strength and conditioning coach for USC now. But this guy,
he played in the NFL for 4 years.
Yeah.
And he was a lineman. He was a Samoan. And that guy had, I was a pretty good athlete too. Around airplanes and loading airplanes. And he can do anything I can do. I could jump in the back of a 37, but I had to do it and land on my stomach and pull me up. This guy could jump in the back of a 37 in one leap. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I watched him. Watch this guy. You know, and this guy's a, you know, 330-pound guy, you know, maybe 6'4"-ish, somewhere right in there. And I watched this guy just, like, do the splits, like right in the break room. And I'm like, damn, this guy's limber. He's got hops. He's running out to all these flights, and he was just one of those guys that was just a average guy in the NFL for a few years.
It takes 4 years. Yeah.
So all of these guys that you're watching there, they're just the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm in awe of all of those guys, even if they don't have an opportunity to make it in the NFL. I'm glad they have the opportunity to at least showcase their skills against these other guys to be able to compare themselves.
We had a dumbass. I'm going to call him a dumbass. I can't think of his name. But he thought he was a basketball star. And he told us in the break room, you know, I would have been in pro basketball if I was in the 50s. You know. And I said, wait a minute. Were you an all-star in your state? Were you on any all-star teams? I said, it's always been that way. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, the best athletes won state championships. They were all-stars in this state. They were honorable mention and all that. And this guy wasn't none of that. So I'm telling them, you think you would have been in the NFL, I mean, not NFL, in the NBA in the 50s. You better wake up to reality, boy. You wasn't even the all-star in Washington. Washington State.
He wasn't even a starter.
I told him if you were any good, he was a young guy, too.
Yeah, and what we were watching is we were watching some footage of the Boston Celtics and specifically Bill Russell. And he was talking about, that he's an 11-time NBA champion. And, you know, we gave him all of his accolades and stuff. And this guy swore up and down, boy, if I could just play then, yeah, okay.
Okay,
that's like the trans, those like the transgender athletes. Well, I can dominate. I switched to the other side.
Curtis went off.
I was lucky to play in Hawaii for 3 years. And I know of six guys that I played against in Hawaii that went to pro football, including one that went to the Cowboys with Emmitt Smith. And when they were winning, a guy named Tourney, he died about 3 years ago. But he played for Punahou High School. And he was a friend of mine. And he played at Punahou High School in Hawaii. And Russ Francis played at St. Louis when I was in high school. And I can't think of all their names. But there were six guys that I played against in high school. And you better believe they were all stars in Hawaii and went to good colleges. Went to BYU, Arizona, and places like that.
USC.
And got in pro football. And I was lucky to be friends with and see some of that high school football. If you remember, and it's still the same thing, University of Hawaii has not been a good college team. So the community of Hawaii was filled up stadiums to watch football, and it was great football to play in Hawaii when I was playing in Hawaii and played against some great people.
You know, Loa Stadium.
Good stuff. Just whenever we, we're thinking about, we're going to get back on topic here. The topic isn't anything lower. My guy, Calvin, just kind of like blows up the league here and decides to gamble on football here, which, again, it's not looking good for the mental health situation. But, it's kind of an interesting situation because, we weren't really great in salary cap. So because he does this, obviously now we get $11 million back in salary cap because he's underneath that. So now hopefully we can make some moves. And it's an interesting situation, right, because,
as I was kind of in my feelings, and I'm glad I've kind of calmed down, one half of me was really pissed, and the other half was like, well, you know, we're kind of in an interesting situation because, you know, he can't really be traded, but now it's like if you're the Falcons, maybe you're like, all right, bro, you better get it right, you know, because ain't nobody else going to touch you at this juncture. So maybe it's an opportunity for him in 2023, if you will, to try to come in and, you know, we kind of control that contract, if you will, too. So if you're talking about the now for the Falcons, I know it's interesting because I give them credit for not making that trade whenever they knew this was actually going down. It does allow us to have a different look as far as we're definitely going to look at a lot of the wide receivers, you know, in the draft here. You know, as you said, Rob, I'm a huge fan of Christian Watson, if you will. Hopefully we'll get to our second round pick, if you will. I'm a huge fan of George Pickens. And I'm a huge fan of Justin Ross from Clemson, too. So those are the guys I'm kind of like eyeing as far as, you know, where we're going to be at. And free agency, got to get a guy, you know, whether, you know, it's like a DJ Shark, something like that, or a Will Fuller, because now we don't really have, you know, that wide receiver, you know. So hopefully the strength will be, well, the weakness becomes a strength later on, man. So it's just a terrible situation if you're Calvin. Bruh, it's all close in the NFL. You cannot gamble. So for him to do something like that, it does make you question his mental makeup. Like, dude, how can you be so stupid, man? You know, so it's just not a good situation. It's not a good look. But, you know, in a weird way, it may come back and it may save us, I don't know, in a weird way in 2023 because he has to kind of, you know, shut up and ball, if you will, too. So I don't know. I'm still kind of, you know, it's a crazy situation. So I'll let you take whoever wants to take that. I don't know if you want to talk to AQ since you're in Atlanta or what, man. It's been nuts over here.
You bet $1,500 to lose $11 million. That's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Like, tell your homeboy to make the bet for you. Just text him and say, hey, you're going to get your DraftKings account. This is what I want you to do, and I'll shoot you the money. Like, it's so dumb. And I saw Molly Karam talk about it on First Take, and somebody showed me, you know, a couple of the other suspensions, you know, like Ray Rice got like two or three games for knocking out a girl in the elevator, so many games for, you know, smoking weed, this, and then you get a full season for a $1,500 bet, and he bet on the Falcons to win. It's like sometimes I just don't understand the rules. Like, don't get me wrong, you got to make sure that the game is on the up and up, you know what I mean, so people don't get to think that if they put money into it, betting the Vegas, it's become a really big thing for the NFL and their revenue streams. But come on, man, a whole season for $1,500? Like, if this is the second or third offense, I'm like, okay. But if you can, you know, suck the hell out of somebody right on camera and still be able to play in that same season, but you spent $1,500 on your $11 million, so clearly you're not doing a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like, $1,500, he wasn't in the debt to anybody. And he got to say he battled his team, but he wasn't even playing for and wasn't even around him to win. I just want things to make a little bit more sense. But it's still stupid. You know the rules. Don't get me wrong. He knew what the rules were, and he put himself in this situation. But, you know, you just see this, something for a whole season from this, and you see people, in my mind, that do things that are far worse and get to play in the same season. So sometimes I just don't understand what the NFL is doing with this suspension.
And we got the pretty woman up there in Green Bay who lied about getting vaccinated, and he said no consequences. He still gets to come back and play. You know, I totally get it. But, you know, JQ took the words right out of my mouth, man. You spend $1,500 and you lose $11 million. Man, that is sickening when you think about it, man. And if you're making that kind of money, I know you're out, but if you're making that kind of money, why are you gambling? I mean, I don't get it.
I can say something on that. You know, so these kids, they come up and they're the top high school athletes. And if they play at one of the top, you know, high schools in the country, let's say, I'm not talking about just this kid, but in general, they're kind of moved along, you know. If they do something wrong, it's kind of, you know, thrown under the carpet and we'll just move forward. Then they get to college and, you know, maybe you don't have to attend classes or maybe they screw up at some party or get a DUI or whatever. So much of this stuff is thrown, you know, under and we never know about it. Then you get to the pros and a lot of these kids grew up poor, but then when they got to where they were athletes, right? Then everything's kind of handed to him, you know. This is almost like play money. He doesn't even, you know, he doesn't have that concept like all of us here on the show have a concept of what you can do with $11 million. It's like monopoly money to them. They don't know.
Yeah.
And they haven't had any I'm surprised that there are not more athletes that are getting caught for these sort of things.
Well,
just in general speaking.
Well, and Gary's my best friend. And I have to a little bit argue with him.
Surprise.
When we were in high school, and when I was in high school, we didn't have the internet. These kids now have the internet, and there's not too much out there. You can't find out about anybody that you want to find out about. With the internet, blew that out of the water, especially in sports. You can look up anybody and where they're at and what they're doing. And the internet puts, if you're a criminal, now all over the United States. We didn't grow up like that. You can be a criminal in Colorado and move to Washington. There was no internet, and you were kind of safe in a way. But the internet changed the whole game that Gary's talking about. You can look up stuff on the internet and five investigators and all that figure out what kind of people you're getting. It's not that private anymore. There's not that many surprises. The surprises are common. People that make you believe that they're this good and that good. And then they get out there on the field and they don't have that kind of heart to be that champion.
What, Johnny Football?
You know.
Yep.
You got it. That's funny. Don't talk about Johnny Football. Hey, we got 8 minutes here. I do want to really quickly ask you guys. This is a Cowboys question, and we're going to get to the mock draft, and we're going to wrap up here because we do want to talk about where Marcus Mariota is going to end up. We talked about the Raiders earlier, if you will, take you and Derek Carr, Rob. Really quickly, this is a quick snippet here. For Gary and Curtis, do you think the Cowboys are going to cut Amari Cooper and Demarcus Lawrence? You know, that's an interesting question.
I think they're going to cut one of them. I think it's going to be, in my opinion, I think it's going to be Amari Cooper. I don't think they'll cut Lawrence. You know, the tank, they want him. They want to – I think they'll – you know, the Quinn is scratching and clawing to keep him – you know, they need him on the defensive side of the football. They made a lot of strides this year on the defensive side. Even though Amari Cooper has been Dak Prescott's main target, there's enough there around him that I think
Dallas
they feel like
CD Lamb.
they can lose that. It'd be nice if they could keep them both, if they could, but I think they'll have, you know, with salary caps, casualties are, you know, it's disheartening, but it is what it is in the sport. And as fans, we don't like it. We get a guy that we like. I like Amari Cooper. I like him on our team. It'd be nice if we could keep him, but I think he would be the casualty first.
Well, what I heard was Jerry Jones was fooling around with these guys that didn't want to get vaccinated. And
Amari Cooper.
That was one. He had to miss a game because he didn't get vaccinated. And but I heard today, Jerry's not happy with these guys. He wants them to be one team. He wants them to be all together. And when you want to refuse to be vaccinated, that's not on the agenda. So if you don't want to be vaccinated, Jerry can see him. You can go talk somewhere else. And that's been his issue in being under the salary cap. Because he likes to pay people money. But he wants you to follow all the rules. And one was to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And
I know that that did irk the whole Jones family.
Nice. Really quickly, we got to get to Marcus Mariota. And Rob, really quickly, you can talk about I don't know if you want to tackle that, where he's going, or if you want to do the mock draft post-combine, if you will, and then we'll let JQ get his last wrap-up thoughts. We got to wrap this up.
I'll try to go through this really quickly. Marcus Mariota, if I had to take an early prediction, I think Washington is going to give him a strong look. Washington still may draft a quarterback here as well, but I think I think Ron Rivera may give him a look in Washington. But looking at the mock draft, obviously the first one since the combine, first three-round mock, that I've done this year. Second straight mock, I've got Ike Ekwonu going number one overall to Jacksonville.
Wow.
Talked about Trayvon Walker. We've got Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, going to Atlanta at number eight. I got Kayvon Thibodeau dropping all the way to number nine to Seattle right now.
Wow.
Dallas, I got him going offensive line at 24. Offensive tackle, Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. Got my Saints going Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia, at number 18. Cincinnati, offensive tackle Bernhard Raimann from Central Michigan there in the latter part of the first round. Second round, I got the Falcons going offensive tackle from Ohio State, the Frenchman, Nick Petit-Frere, offensive tackle from Ohio State going to Atlanta at number 43. I got Dallas on offensive line again in the second pick, in the second round. Ed Ingram, offensive guard from LSU. I got my Saints going offensive tackle. I got all of our teams taking offensive linemen in this mock. So, Daniel Kalele, offensive tackle from Minnesota, going to 49. And Cincinnati, I got them doubling down on the offensive linemen, first pick and second round. I mean, they got a sure up that right side. That. And they need some depth on an offensive line, too. So Darian Kennard, offensive tackle, offensive he can actually play guard as well from Kentucky. Third round, you got the Falcons taking Chazen Hines, offensive guard from LSU. Let's see, who do I have the Falcons? Dallas taking Troy Anderson, linebacker, Montana State, athletic linebacker from Montana State in the third round. Cincinnati got him going Matthew Butler, defensive tackle, Tennessee, in the third round. And then my Saints in the third round, I got him taking Nick Cross, safety from Maryland. You can see the full three-round mock draft on our Talking Sports with the 12 panel. Just give you a little snippet right there. We're getting ready to end our show for tonight. We thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, the 15th of March, we're going to be halfway through the month. Already, we're getting closer to the NFL new year. We actually have the NCAA tournament brackets by next Tuesday. We'll get a chance to talk about that on our show on next week. So East Coasters, that's going to be 11 o'clock Eastern time for you all next week. Raleigh Durham, that means my Tar Heel fans, big win over Duke. That's going to be 11 p.m. for you all in Raleigh Durham on next week. Chicago, it's going to be 10 p.m. Albuquerque, 9 p.m. Fresno, 8 p.m. Make sure you tune in on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Good night.
Yeah, I was just saying, I wonder if Mariota is in play for Pittsburgh as well, given what's shaking out maybe as a one-year bridge if they also take a quarterback. So, yeah, I think those are two places. Good night, good people, all where we at the thing. So we'll holler at y'all next week. But, yeah, that's he's going to get paid. The thing that drives me crazy is that the Trubisky rumors. Somebody's going to pay Trubisky $10 million a year for a couple of years because he's revitalized himself in Buffalo. I say, you do that dumb shit if you want to.
But you know the interesting rumor I heard today about Trubisky is that the Giants are really high on him and want him to come in and compete with Daniel Jones. And
well,
you know, they're
going
to have a winning competition if that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
They're
out to talk about the Buccaneers are talking about trading for Deshaun Watson, too. They're going to try to make a big swing at QB, too, or something like that, too. So, you know, again, we don't know, you know, because they got Kyle Trask and they got Blaine Gabbert, so you don't know what's going to happen. So we'll see what happens with the QBs. Colts need a QB. You know, Washington needs a QB. You talked about, so there's a couple teams that we're going to look at, too, that, you know, as well, too. Browns, possibly. Panthers, we know the Panthers need a QB. So... You know,
what
about McCaffrey?
Current NFL backups. There's some current NFL backups that are going to be starters next year. I think that's where we are with the quarterback right now. You know, losing somebody like a Brady to retirement, and then this not being a strong quarterback draft class. There's some current NFL backups that will be starting, and probably at least I'm going to be going on a limb and say at least two current backups are going to be starting next year on day one.
I agree.
I hear the Saints are trying to go after Cooper Rush. Is this true, Rob?
Okay.
Look like the Saints want Brandon Winston back.
Big contract for him.
Oh, man. Gentlemen, have a good one. Be safe. See you guys same time, same channel next week, guys. Be good.
Deuces. Good night. Good night, people.
Talk to y'all later, man.
Good night, people. Okay, good night. Get some rest, guys.
Yep.
And Jerry, there's one thing I want you to